Hello, I'm Scott Pinzon, Director of Policy Communications for ICANN, and you are listening to an experiment. This is the pilot episode of a podcast that ICANN's policy team hopes to produce regularly. As you probably know, ICANN deals with some very technical and often controversial issues related to the domain name service, internet protocol ports and addresses, and other technical matters that impact the entire globe. The experiment is, if we focus on just one of those issues at a time, can we provide a helpful introduction to it, but keep it short enough for you to hear on a coffee break? You can have a part in this experiment. Listen to the rest of this episode, then if you think it's useful and you wish we would make more, send us an email. Put podcast in the subject line and address it to policy, then a dash or a hyphen, staff@icann.org. Make any comments you want, and with your guidance, we'll take it from there. Now, without further delay, let's join the show, and I look forward to hearing from you. Welcome to the premiere episode of START. For this pilot episode, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome Dave Piscitello, Senior Security Technologist and a member of ICANN's Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
One of the reasons I was eager to have you on is that you had a great idea of how to take some of the complicated issues that ICANN addresses and simplify them so that people can get a handle on them. Can you share what that approach is?
Sure. It turns out that you can frame even complicated issues by asking five simple questions that everybody wants to have answered. What is it? Why does it matter? Who does it affect? Who's going to fix it? And what can I do about it?
Well, that sounds really practical. Why don't we take the concept for a test drive by applying it to an issue that's relevant right now? How about internationalized registration data?
Sounds good.
All right. Internationalized registration data, what is it, Dave?
Let's take just a small step back and think about the broader problem space of internet applications that today must accommodate a global audience that doesn't necessarily all speak the same language, all read the same character set and languages and scripts.
Okay.
So if you take that broader context and you consider the web, I'm sure that you've gone and you've visited a website where the character set is used by the Japanese language or by the Chinese language or by Arabic-speaking people, and you recognize immediately, I don't know how to read this page. Now put a different hat on and imagine that you don't know how to read English or read Roman and Latin character sets.
Well, that would be pretty daunting because most URLs are in Western scripts.
Not only the URLs, but the web pages, electronic mail, and the like. And in many applications today, application developers are strongly trying to reach out to a global audience. There's a very big market value. There's a very big education value. There's a very big political value. So the problem space is simply put as internet applications must accommodate an audience that uses characters in local languages and scripts. Who is an internet application? Therefore, who is must accommodate a global audience? And not only with respect to domain names, which have their own standards for internationalized domain names, but for all the other information that is associated with who is as well, which we call registration data.
You mentioned internationalized domain names, which we often abbreviate as IDNs. Exactly how are IDNs tied into WHOIS?
IDNs are simply one characterization of a domain name. The history says that domain names must be encoded or registered in a reduced set of ASCII called LDH, which stands for letters, digits, hyphen. So those are the only characters that you could currently use prior to IDN to compose a domain name. With that limited set, you couldn't compose a domain name that would include Arabic characters or include any of the scripts that are used by Chinese or Japanese or Koreans.
So there are standards and guidelines for internationalized domain names, but you were mentioning registration data. What are the standards or guidelines for that?
Well, it turns out that there are none. And if you look at the IDN standards, there actually is a clause in one of the standards that says we don't talk about who is and we don't talk about any of the requirements and guidelines for applications that lie outside of the composition and registration of domain names. if you think about what's in a who is, there's a lot of information that people care about and want to understand. It's all the information that associates the domain name with the person who is going to use the name. That includes the sponsoring registrar, which is the registrar who actually accepted the registration from Joe Average User. It includes all the contact information that ICANN requires registrars to collect so that a third party or ICANN or the registrar could contact the registrant in the event that there was a problem or in the event that there was a technical issue or an administrative issue. It also includes the DNS configuration information. So those three supersets of information are what we call registration data.
So our first question was internationalized registration data, what is it? And you're saying it includes sponsoring registrar information, contact information, DNS configuration. That's a lot of stuff. And there's no standards or guidelines for how to put it in non-Western characters.
That's right.
Well, that leads us to our second question. Then why does that matter? Why is that important?
If you stop to think about the number of different ways that the WHOIS services are used, it's very important to understand the consequences of having no standard way to display or accept submitted registration data. The current state is that recognizable display of registration data is application dependent. The display is affected by the character sets available to the WHOIS client applications or browsers. So, for example, if you have ever used a command line WHOIS application on a Linux machine or on a MS-DOS command prompt, and you've gone to either print or display a file that contains characters outside the fonts that are configured for the operating system, what do you get? You get a bunch of these little empty squares and a bunch of other gibberish.
I've seen them.
Essentially is unprintable characters.
Yeah.
That's the same experience you'll get if you go and a registrar has collected registration data in a character set other than the character set that are supported by applications and browsers.
Let's say that I run a website and all of a sudden it's getting hit with a bunch of spam being relayed from some IP address, and I want to contact that person and see if it's unintentional or what's going on. I look them up in WHOIS, and it's all in Chinese. I can't read it. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
That's one very, very good example and actually a commonly expressed concern about the internationalization of registration data. So if you are a brand or an intellectual property holder, or if you're a financial institution and your institution is being phished, one of the things that your staff or other parties who are helping you try to identify the domain that is hosting a phishing site will do is they'll go to WHOIS. And if they go to WHOIS and they cannot read the WHOIS is pretty useless to them.
I can see it from the other side, too. If I'm Chinese, it seems like I should have the right to put my WHOIS data in Chinese. It's a language I understand.
I think that the goal here is not to say that the current state of ASCII only is the best and only way, but to begin to explore how we can turn this problem and recognize that there is an evolution and come up with a new solution. The user experience already varies with WHOIS today. And what we want to try to do is recognize that along with getting IDN TLDs into the DNS, we want to get a tractable and useful and productive solution for internationalizing registration data at the same time.
That seems to lead us nicely to our third question. We've talked about what it is. We've talked about why it matters. And then the next question on our list was, who does this affect or who should care about this?
There are a large number of groups who should care. Obviously, anyone who uses WHOIS regularly for whatever purpose is going to care if the current status changes. Some specifics include people who have actually gone and written applications based on information that they would query from WHOIS and information they would receive. The kinds of applications I'm talking about are not necessarily applications where humans interact, but applications that automate. Imagine that you are going to do an analysis of a very, very large number of domains because you suspect some malicious activity and you suspect some correlation across those domains. This is the kind of activity that law enforcement or brand protection or researchers who analyze malicious conduct do all the time. They make some assumptions about the kinds of responses and the kinds of queries that they can actually compose and generate. And one assumption is that I can read it and I can parse it because it's going to be ASCII text.
Okay.
If those assumptions are broken, then they're going to have a lot of trouble with their applications. And the more variability, the more challenging the application development becomes. But also, the more likely miscreants will think about registering domains in character sets that they believe would obfuscate their behavior and activity.
Sure.
Another group of people that probably should care are policy people in governments and agencies all over the globe that essentially aren't comfortable with the potential Babel effect on global services.
So, next question, who's going to fix this issue with internationalized registration data?
And by everyone, I mean it has to be the same kind of multi-stakeholder participation in a study that would result in a recommendation that would result in policy. Now, it turns out that ICANN's ESSAC wrote an advisory explaining the problem.
For the newcomers, ESSAC refers to ICANN's Security and Stability Advisory Committee.
That's right. And that advisory was brought to the ICANN Board of Directors. As part of the advisory, ESSAC recommended, and the board of directors agreed to task a very large number of the service organizations and advisory committees, in fact, all of them, to form a working group to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data.
Some of these other supporting organizations that are working on this include the Generic Name Supporting Organization, the At-Large Advisory Committee, Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and the Governmental Advisory Committee. So as you say, it's pretty much everyone.
And a key contribution is learning from the experiences that certain country code TLD operators have already had while trying to accommodate their own local users in character sets from local languages. .jp, .cn, .kr, these are all abbreviations of country codes, Japan, China, Korea.
I think it's great that country code top-level domain operators would have a lot of relevant experience working with this, so we hope they're part of the working group that will address it.
I think that they're very interested. A number of the country code operators have already been very cooperative in sharing anecdotal information with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. There are a lot of very enthusiastic people running those registries. I actually don't see this as a battlefield. I see this as a situation where people are going to sit and try very hard to come up with something that is tractable for all communities and provides a very rich and productive service for who is.
So if a listener has heard this and they're thinking to themselves, yeah, I don't want the Babel effect. I would like there to be standards so that registration data can work. How can a person get involved?
Well, there are a couple of ways to get involved. If you are interested in participating, ICANN is a multi-stakeholder community, and you can certainly offer your expertise if you have some application development expertise and understand how to use and represent and display Unicode. If you know a certain amount about various policies that have already been implemented by various countries regarding who is services or guiding other information that has to be displayed and represented in multiple languages. And it's not just countries, by the way. The European Union would be another organization that might want to weigh in on this subject, and plenty of others. The right thing to do is to go to the ICANN website to look up internationalized registration data in a search or submit a question to the policy department at ICANN, and we'd welcome you on board because the more experienced people we have in participating, the better likelihood we have of getting very reasonable and applicable policy.
Well, thank you very much for appearing on our first episode, and I'm sure we'll have occasion to talk to you in the future.
Well, thank you very much, Scott.
Thanks for listening to ICANN Start, produced by the policy team at the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. For more information about topics covered in today's show, email policy-staff@icann.org. That's the word policy, followed by a dash, then the word staff, at ICANN.org. This program was produced in 2009 under a Creative Commons license, some rights reserved. ICANN. One world, one internet, everybody connected.